And as we pastor and preach and labor in the work of the Lord's church, we want our church to be like the Lord. We want God's people to be growing in Christ-likeness. Now, Christ-likeness is not physical features. Everybody's different. There's no two men within here to see him this evening. We've got different physical features. We've got different personality types. We've got different temperaments. But to be Christ-like is to have those qualities that are found in the Lord Jesus.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we have our final letter to the churches. The last one is Laodicea. And so here is the Lord's message to this church in Asia Minor. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, thank you for joining with us here on the program, and I trust that as we move now to the pulpit ministry of our church at the Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale, that the Lord will apply his word to your heart. We want heart preaching. We want something that will be God-convincing and convicting, but also creating faith within your heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that God, by his grace, takes his word and makes it personal and to have an impact upon each individual hearer. And so wherever you are today, may you hear with the hearing of faith to receive the Lord's word with joy today. So stay tuned as we move now to our message on the Lord's love letter to the church at Laodicea. I trust that you've learned, and we have all learned, that the introduction to each of these churches is never by accident, but when the Lord introduces himself to the church, he is presenting a quality, a characteristic that this church needs. And I want you to notice in Revelation 3:14, how the Lord introduces himself to the Laodiceans. And he writes to them, These things saith the Amen. The Lord is true. He is the faithful and true witness. He can be depended upon. He's always there, and he's always the same. And those qualities are the very things that the Laodiceans were not. They all fail the test for being true, consistent, loyal, dependable. Indeed, the big characteristic is that they are lukewarm.
lukewarm. And this is lamentable. And for this we give the very lowest score of all the churches. This is the church that is not the model. It's not the example. If you were a church planter, you would not go to the Church of Laodiceans and copy it, because it was sickening. Indeed, the Lord said that because they were neither cold nor hot, but lukewarm, that he would spew them out of his mouth. So one thing about the Lord Jesus, you always know what he means. You don't have to ask, what's he trying to say? Because he's faithful. He's getting the message across. Now, there is a hymn in our hymn book. I was sort of thinking of singing it tonight. And it's that hymn, "Oh, to be like thee. Oh, to be like thee." And that is the prayer of the godly man or woman, to be like the Lord. And as we pastor and preach and labor in the work of the Lord's church, we want our church to be like the Lord. We want God's people to be growing in Christ-likeness. Now, Christ-likeness is not physical features. Everybody's different. There's no two men, women here to see him this evening. We've got different physical features. We've got different personality types. We've got different temperaments. But to be Christ-like is to have those qualities that are found in the Lord Jesus. And I would like you to be an amen Christian, that we could write amen on your back and say, you're the man or woman that we would want other Christians to be like. But these Laodiceans, they really failed the test and guilty of lukewarmness. Now, there's a point of history that into the city of Laodicea, there was a water aqueduct. The Romans were masters at building aqueducts to provide cities with water from long distances. And of course, that was open half pipes. They weren't closed pipes that would normally be used today. And often they were way above ground, and they would have been on covering valleys with arches to get the level of the water flowing properly. And they would get the grade so that it would flow from point A to point B for miles. But of course, in the open air and in the hot sun, when the water reached the city, it was lukewarm, if not bordering on hot. Sometimes it's a bit like the water that I'm given here, because I did ask, don't give me ice anymore, don't give me cold water. Warm water is actually better. We should warm the throat and not cool it down when we're singing or speaking. I'm not sure if it helps my singing, mind you, but I hope it does enable me to preach and to sound the word out clearly. Now, some commentators have made a big deal out of this water arriving into the city that was lukewarm. And that applied to Laodicea, and that's where the Lord got the analogy and so on. My problem is, there probably is a countless number of cities that had water delivered the same way. And they each would have had water arriving into the city that was lukewarm. And so it would apply to all of those places just as much as Laodicea. So I am backing off from making too much of that point. But there is another history of Laodicea that I think is very relevant, and that is that in AD 64, there was an earthquake, a very disruptive earthquake, out of which this city actually blossomed. They restarted, rebuilt, and because the Romans were great builders, they built amphitheaters and circuses. They had a building or an amphitheater that would seat 30,000 people. And so it was a vast, prosperous city. And then, of course, this letter that was coming to them from the Lord would have been delivered somewhere in the late 90s AD, and the word of warning to the church that the Lord would spew them out of his mouth. But it was not until a number of centuries later that there was another earthquake from which the city never recovered. The ruins may be seen in part now, and the church's ministry is long over, and Laodicea is really a sad history, and becomes therefore a warning that when the Lord speaks, obey. Indeed, I was reading about when your conscience speaks, obey. We need to be sensitive to the voice and leading of the Lord. Now, we do not look for audible voices. We do not look for revelations, but we do believe that the Lord is the shepherd who leads his people. But sheep need to be willing to follow. And we need to have an open ear to the voice of the Lord. And did you notice that every one of these churches, all but one, which had the same statement, but not at the end, but every one of them ended, for by one, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And therein lies a big part of our problem, a big part of God's people's problems. Our ears grow dull, and we don't listen to the voice of God. And so I want you tonight, although we've got some very tough things to deal with in this letter, I want you to take them to heart. It's a letter of warning. It's a letter that we must pay close attention to if we would have the blessing of God. First thing we need to do here is to identify the lukewarmness. And there are three types of Christian described here. There's the cold, the hot, and the lukewarm. We don't need to have to say much about the cold. They've just lost out, totally lost out. The hot, well, that's the one who's zealous and on fire for God. If you find one, will you bring him to church? We need more such people in the Lord's church today. Those that are out and out for God, sold out, not caring what it's going to cost to be an out and out Christian, hot for the Savior. And then there are these lukewarm. Now, the lukewarm is very difficult to identify, because we live in an age of Christian professionalism, when people can put on the suit and act the part, and they look every which way a Christian, but in heart they lose out. Then, of course, there's the tradition. There's the tradition of Christianity that we deal with. And thankfully, we have a strong Christian tradition. We've got all kinds of churches all around us. We've got all kinds of Bible schools that have been planted over the years by different communities and different peoples. And the teaching, the training of Christianity has been strong in this nation. But tradition can give you a veneer, can give you a facade, and all the while there is lukewarmness. Then, of course, there's convention. Everybody knows what they should say and what they shouldn't say. If you're in Christian company, well, you either keep your mouth shut or you use the proper terminology. Some people are very good at that. And then there are the casual attitudes. And this is a generation of casualness. There's casualness all around us. We speak of the millennials in particular, but didn't start with them. It started certainly in the 1960s with the hippies and all the casualness. And now we're heading into the era of recreational marijuana. It's not going to get any better by the appearances of things. And in the church, when someone arrives in with a very rare-looking style, we don't drive them out. We're thankful that they come. They don't know better. They need to hear the gospel. They need to know the things of God. And those casual attitudes can develop. And of course, there are people who never get beyond the appearance of things. And they miss out on convictions. They miss out on truth and righteousness. And we wonder, do they really know God and have a heart to serve God? That's the lukewarm person, and we try to define him. Now, lukewarmness, as we see here in this letter, and I don't want to come up with my own opinions, I want to stick with the letter. You will see that lukewarmness is defined by our words. Look at verse 17. Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And yet the Lord reported of them that in spite of what you're saying, that you know not, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind. Now the Lord Jesus did teach us that by their words ye shall know them. And so as a man speaketh, so is he. And when a person talks and they use worldly language, we know his heart. When he speaks and it's self-righteousness and pride, we know his heart. When he will not speak anything about the Lord, well, we can question, where is the zeal for the Lord? Now, lukewarmness is also seen by a material emphasis. It says here that this person, thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. And there are many people that jump at the conclusion, because I am prosperous in this world, God is blessing me. They make that the number one sign of God's blessing: physical, material prosperity. But as the Lord says here, they're fooling themselves. They say, I am rich and have much goods and have nothing. That's the Lord's word, have nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched. And of course, this is what happens when spiritual life declines. When a person who may have run well for a time, and they were red hot for the Lord and zealous for Christ, busy, earnest, prayerful, studious in the Word, witnessing to others, they end up now falling back on material contentment. Lukewarmness also in verse 17 is marked by a false spiritual contentment. I have need of nothing. If you were to apply that to the pastor or the elders of the church, and they were to sit around their elders' meeting and say, we've nothing to ask for. We've nothing to pray about. The church is doing so well. The money's coming in. The numbers are keeping up. And we have, in every way appearance, a pleasant, happy congregation. We have need of nothing. Lukewarm. We can't say it's sinful. We can't say it's against God. But it's certainly the mark of lukewarmness when we get to the place where we are complacent and do not sense our spiritual need. What? Have need of nothing while the seats are empty? Have need of nothing while men and women do not pray? Have need of nothing while children are growing up ungodly, without the Savior, rebellious to parents and to the church? How can we say that we have need of nothing? Now, wealthy nations, they often enjoy good times and turn away from God. And the Laodicean spirit is akin to material prosperity, but very little interest in God. It happens to nations, it happens to churches, and it happens to individual Christians. When you can say, well, the job is good, the money's coming in, food is in the fridge and on the table at every meal, everyone's health is fine, we can lose sight of our need of the Lord. Prayer goes out. It's cut short. The zeal is lost. And then church life becomes optional. Oh, I don't need to go today. I'll just read my Bible for a little bit and I've got other things to think about. There's no burden for the cause of Christ's kingdom. Self-satisfied. and there's no striving for the cause of the Lord. Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, to verse 29? This was my Bible reading this week, and I just felt drawn to look at this amazing little text. Colossians 1, verse 29. The apostle is saying, "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." There's the posture and the attitude of the Apostle Paul as he seeks to preach, in Luke's verse 28, "whom we preach, warn every man, teaching every man in every wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." And then he says, "whereunto I also labor, striving." The word striving there is the Greek word that in the English would be agonizing. There's always an agonizing in God's work. There's always an agonizing in advancing the Lord's kingdom. And we're striving. We can never say that we've arrived. We can never say that we have enough. We have need of nothing, because we're striving and struggling. And as we do so, Paul says, "I strive according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." And when we stop striving, we stop enjoying the help of the Lord. Get the point? Do you see what I'm driving at? When a people become complacent and say, "we've got enough," then you can't expect the help of the Lord. But when you're laboring, striving, agonizing, yearning and longing to do something for God, then you can pray that the Lord will come and help in power. That's the mark of the church that is in blessing. Now, when we go back to Revelation 3, we see another identification of lukewarmness, and that is spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. And we're looking at verse 17. "Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind." Spiritual blindness. That is how God sees us if we're lukewarm. There is loss of discernment. And that's a tragedy in the Christian's life. That we who are awakened and converted and brought to know the Lord and to the truth have now got a spiritual eyesight problem, that we don't recognize and we don't discern. The devil could be looking straight at us and we wouldn't even know it. And we don't know when we are in danger nor in blessing. And the dangerous thing about this lukewarmness is that people don't see it. That's the deceitful nature of it. That's the catch. Because when you fall into a lukewarm condition and you lose your spiritual eyesight, you don't see your own danger. You don't see the issues. You don't see the great cause of Christ. Your eyes are shut to those spiritual needs. And you don't realize how far you've slipped down the slope into emptiness. And you say, "I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing," and knowest not that thou art wretched. That's the subtlety of lukewarmness in the heart of the Christian. Can you see the problem? Do you see the reason why we need to take this to heart very carefully? We need to pray, "Lord, open my ears to this. Don't allow me to be lost to the reality of my own spiritual condition." We need to be very honest and open to God.
Again, I thank you for joining with us on the program as we bring you the message of God's Word. And we're trying to be honest and open to the great issues that the Lord was dealing with here at the Church of Laodicea. And surely we are living in a period when the Church of the Lord Jesus, in general, is sleepy. There is a sleepiness. There is a dullness that has come upon the people of God. To get people to prayer, to get people to witness, to live for Christ with zeal and joy is a very difficult thing. And at times, as a pastor, it becomes wearisome when people just show a very dull spirit and no real interest. And it can only be described as this lukewarmness. They are neither hot nor cold. People don't deny the Lord. They don't blaspheme against him. But neither do they live in praise, joy, and gladness. And so there is this eating into the heart of vital Christianity. And sometimes it is material prosperity. It is the sense of earthly security that takes people away from leaning on the Lord. And when a person is in perfect and good health, well, they can feel that the world revolves around them and they are invincible. But let me remind you, those things can be taken away very quickly. And that food on the table can become something that's not going to be there every hour, every day. And that health can diminish. The income, that good job can be lost. Things can turn around very quickly. And in those times, people may turn afresh to the Lord. But the Lord draws us and he invites us to love him with all our hearts, not because he can take things away, but because he truly desires our worship and the love of our hearts. And so I beg you to rededicate your life, stir up your own soul to worship, to serve, and to follow the Lord. Let's unite in prayer and ask God for his grace. Father in heaven, we call upon thee today to disturb the sleep of death that has come upon thy church and thy people. Awaken believers, those whom you have redeemed with your own blood, those whom you have given the Holy Spirit. O gracious God, may your Spirit call with that sound of the trumpet to new life and new service in Christ. And we ask, O Lord, that you will revive your church by reviving your people individually, right now, here today. Lord, speak and call, and let thy will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you will find it on our podcast on iTunes. Search for Let the Bible Speak podcast. Or you can find our programs archived by program date on our website. There you can search for sermons and articles to help you know God's way of salvation and live the Christian life. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. If you've been blessed through the Lord's Word today, and if I can be of personal help to you, please feel free to call me, Ian Gallagher, at 604-576-1091. For information on our Free Presbyterian Church in Scarborough at Nielsen and Finch, you can contact Dr. Larry Saunders at 416-297-1212 or go to the church website, www.torontofpc.ca. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Barrie, call Reverend Anthony DiDerno at 416-305-4274. For our Free Presbyterian Church in Port Hope, contact Reverend Reggie Cranston at 905-885-2240 or click on porthopefpc.org. You will be welcome at any of their Sunday services at 11 a.m. or 6 p.m. May the Lord bless you with saving faith in our Lord Jesus. As the Savior of sinners, he is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. Be sure to join us again at this time next week here on Joy Radio when once more we let the Bible speak.